Would you please do me the honor of standing for the reading of the word? Grab your scriptures, whatever translation you had, whatever format they're in, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we will concentrate our attention. I think I'm going to pick up where I left off last week, and let's just go beginning at verse 16. Make sure you have your sermon note card, please, so that you can follow along. What I've done this week is we've kind of filled in where we started last week. I got to sneeze. Hold on. Been preaching 20-some years. Only thing that's ever happened before. Amen. At any rate, so we started last week, and so I'm filling in some of the blanks for those of you who were not here on last week so that you can follow along with us, all right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Those that have found it, say, I've got it. Here we go. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 25 again, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Put a tag on this text. We're going to talk for just a little while from the topic, walk this way. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father God, we are so grateful for today. You have tremendously blessed us thus far. And Father, we thank you for our young people. Father, we're grateful that they're active and they're engaged in ministry. Father, we're grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who empowers us, who seals our salvation, who gives us day-to-day guidance, moment by moment even. And Father, I pray that each of us would receive what you prepared for us on today. Father, when we talk about sin and the Spirit, when we talk about success and failure in life, Father, it's a bit uncomfortable. But Lord, I pray that your Spirit would encourage us to receive this word by faith. And Father, help us to recognize that you have a path marked out for us. And we can't do it in our own flesh, our own willpower, but we can follow that path being guided and led by your Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place, Lord. Move upon us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you so much, ushers. You look wonderful on today. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we begin, at the top of your sermon note card, we have the message moment, which captures the essence of our talk for today. Here's what it says. Becoming spiritually fit takes time, and involves daily disciplines to ensure success. Becoming spiritually fit takes time. Many of us feel that we have arrived as it relates to our level of spiritual maturity. And the challenge with that is, Scripture has affirmed that we will not reach perfection on this side. It doesn't abdicate the fact that we should strive towards perfection. But the minute we get comfortable and complacent, the minute we think that we have arrived and don't understand that every believer is a work in progress, the minute we forget that, we forfeit some blessings for our lives. Because the minute you stop striving toward the mark is the minute you begin to striving toward the other mark. The minute you feel, man, I have enough word, I have enough worship, I have enough God, I got a handle on this thing, and I really don't need anything else. There's really nothing, Pastor Brown, you can tell me that I don't already know. The minute you embrace that mentality is the minute you cease to walk in the Spirit. Opening statement says, every believer is in progress, meaning we're all a work in progress. We're all being conformed to the image of the Son. And so we went from there and we began to talk about, in order to be Spirit-led, you must first be Spirit-filled. And the filling of the Spirit comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you receive the free gift of salvation made available through Jesus Christ, you are then endowed, you are then filled, you are given everything you need to succeed supernaturally based upon the Spirit of God that resides on the inside. But it begins with, get ready to review, a relationship. Somebody say relationship. Come on, say relationship. And we examine Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, which affirms that when you confess and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it goes on to speak about confessing and believing. And here is the bottom line. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not the end, it's the beginning. I'm feeling this by myself. See, many of us, we get saved and then we get stuck. We get saved and we get complacent. We know that we're no longer going to hell spiritually, but we cease to strive while still living on earth. And the challenge for us is this. You don't get to determine when you quit. That is God's sovereignty. He determines when your race is finished. So it begins with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Brown, what are you talking about? Well, according to Romans chapter 9 and other passages in Romans, you have to admit first and foremost that you have a sinful nature, that you are a sinner, that by your very nature, your back is turned towards God and his ways. See, this is why we don't have to teach babies to be bad. I got some amens right there. I got two of them. I've not to teach either one of them how to be bad or misbehave. You know why? It's their nature. If I say don't do this, what they going to do? They're going to go and do it. Amen. And so we have to admit, acknowledge, accept the fact that I'm a sinner. Now that goes against current culture, because current culture tells you, hey, you were born this way. You get to be who you are. Don't let anybody tell you no. Don't allow the world's philosophies to keep you from the reality that you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked, and you need a Savior. You got to admit that. I'm never going to sugarcoat your sin. I don't want you to be condemned, because Romans also says when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there is now no more condemnation. But you got to acknowledge, you got to admit it first. But not only admit, secondly, you got to believe. Somebody say believe. You got to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and he did what he said he did. You have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he penetrated heaven to earth. He resided on earth as God, man, and he lived and he performed miracles, but his death, burial, and resurrection paid the price that had to be paid. You nor I was qualified, but only one was qualified, and that was Jesus Christ himself. He died a sinner's death, although he was free from sin, but on the third day, he was raised back to life. And now he has ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. You have to believe Jesus. When he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. So as followers of Christ, we believe, we know and accept and believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. You got to admit, you got to believe, and then you got to call on that name. You got to call on him. You got to call on him. Listen, I believe in individual counseling in a private prayer chamber, but even in that private prayer chamber, you better call on the name of Jesus and ask him to save your soul. Ask him to give you a second chance. Ask him to put you in a right relationship with the Father. All right, so that's prerequisite. So in order to be spirit-led, you got to be spirit-filled. So when you have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are endowed. You are given all of the gifts that you need, spiritually speaking. Then we go on, and we talked about verses 19 through 21, where Paul gives this list of works of the flesh. Let's go ahead and read those real quickly. He says, now the works of the flesh, verse 19, are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we understand that as a believer, you may have dabbled. In the activities of 19 through 21. Amen. So then, here's what we discussed. We discussed on your handout that the struggle is real. And that there is this tug of war that takes place in the life of the believer. Now understand, before you received the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no tug. Before you received the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit was not present to alert you to the fact that that situation ain't what's best for you. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are made aware that the struggle is real. That old sinful nature is warring, is wrestling. That flesh is coming against everything that the Lord has delivered you from. And so he makes a statement here that theologians have debated, because we understand that Christians find themselves in verses 19 through 21. Amen, somebody. You're going to find you if you look hard enough. And so this issue of inheritance, it speaks of lost rewards. Lost rewards. You see, when you partake in 19 through 21 activity, you are at that moment losing rewards. Now, some theologians have suggested, no, it's not just lost rewards. If you're participating in that kind of stuff, then you ain't saved. Well, we can't go that far. The text doesn't necessarily lend itself to that. Because when I got saved, there were still some issues in verses 19 through 21 that I was struggling with, and I know I was sure enough saved. Amen, somebody. Now, we're not justifying sin. We're not making a provision for sin. We're just speaking the reality of our spirit-led lives with that fallen fleshly nature. But here is where I want you to understand something. The struggle is real, but that doesn't mean you have to always give in to where the flesh is trying to take you. Which is the second part right there. The Spirit is ready. The Spirit is ready to lead you so that you don't keep going down Flesh Avenue. I'm 14 minutes in. Help me, Holy Spirit. Y'all, that Flesh Avenue is trying to get you to walk down her. But the Spirit is trying to lead you to something loftier and higher. And the Spirit is ready. He's positioned to lead and guide you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. The Spirit is ready so that your life resembles 22 through 23 as opposed to 19 through 21. Help me, Holy Spirit. So walking by the Spirit, or keep walking by the Spirit, means to live moment by moment under the guidance and unction of the Holy Spirit. Craig Rochelle gave us this quote here that is so powerful, because some of us are thinking, Pastor Brown, man, I try to do right. Every time I try, I just slip up and I'm going to just stop trying. I'm going to just accept the fact that whatever this sin is in my life, it's just who I'm going to be. Y'all, that's bondage. That's bondage. And you don't have to walk in that. You've already been delivered from that. You just don't know it. You're just not walking. You haven't taken advantage. You haven't taken advantage of it. So Craig Rochelle puts it this way. He says, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what other people, what everybody else does occasionally. See, here's what happened to us. Y'all lean in. We believe weekend faith will help us to grow spiritually. See, some of us don't get spiritual until Sunday morning when we wake up. We don't even start really thinking about things of God till Sunday morning. So then we come to church on Sunday and we get our praise on, and before we hit the parking lot, got no help up in here, that flesh is knocking at the door. Let me back in. You through with your church? I didn't fool with you while you was in church. So it's about incremental, small, consistent steps of faith. And that's what we're going to deal with in this series, because you need to know what you need to do in order for you to walk the way of the Spirit. So Craig Rochelle said, listen, it's about consistency. Not just an occasional fleeting thought of the Spirit. So then, application of points. First one was get in step. Somebody say get in step. Get in step. Come on, say get in step. Verse 16 again says, I say then, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be led. Be in oneness with the Spirit. Living so closely connected with the Holy Spirit that your direction, your motivation, everything is guided and led by the Spirit of God. Pastor, Mark, how do I get there? The first of three things. Number one, you got to draw near in prayer. This is how you get in step. And we gave the illustration of dancing. When you're dancing with somebody, let's just say they can't dance. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, because I'm such a great dancer. But when you're dancing with somebody who can't dance, just make sure y'all are, somebody say, whoa. Okay. When you're dancing with somebody who can't dance, you got to compensate for those bad dancers. And, you know, you're ready to do your thing, and, you know, all y'all, you're doing your thing, and they're like, their mouth is all open trying to get the step. And so you got to get in step with your dance partner. And you got to help them. And listen, you got to help them to be what they need to be. And that's what the Spirit is doing for you. See, we can't dance in the Spirit. But if we get on the Spirit's beat, I need a witness up in here, and we follow the Spirit's, we draw near to Him in prayer, He'll show us how to move in this thing. See, here's what I'm discovering about my own life. I try to do too many solo dances. And I'm dancing at times in my flesh. It looks good to the world, but the Spirit is like, I ain't nowhere in there. And how then do I get there? I got to draw near in prayer. I got to draw near in prayer. Y'all, our prayer lives determine so much about our spiritual success. Not only draw near in prayer, secondly, dig deeper in the Word. Dig deeper in the Word. And Mrs. Briscoe has given us a wonderful opportunity for us to do that, ladies. But you got to dig deeper in the Word. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen with an occasional glance at a scripture. It's not going to happen with, you know, you choosing a daily devotional and then you let 25 days elapse in between each of your readings. It's not going to happen that way. Craig Rochelle said, watch this, successful people do consistently. It's about consistency. It's training yourselves. It's disciplining yourself under the unction of the Holy Spirit. You got to dig deeper in the word. So those few scriptures you have committed to memory, you got to build on those so that you can have an arsenal of scriptures in your heart. Thirdly, distance from flesh promoters. You got to distance yourself from flesh promoters. Social media is none but a flesh promoter. I'm a living witness. Some of us, look at me. Don't look down. Stay with me. Come on. Come on. Y'all with me in the choir stand? Y'all with me? Can y'all hear me good? Can y'all hear me good? Y'all awake? All right. Let me tell you something. Stay right here. There are so many flesh promoters that we have bought into, that we follow, that we are in covenant with, if you will. And y'all, we have to distance ourselves from that stuff. If you're looking at that stuff and you ain't thinking nothing about the Lord, I got one laugh over there. God bless you, brother. You're looking at that stuff, and it's causing you to have some thoughts that you hadn't had in a while. You have to distance yourselves from that stuff. Now, I'm not an advocate of this worldly philosophy about throwing away friends and all that goes along with that, and the higher you go, they can't go as high. No, because I believe that whatever the Lord is doing in your life, he is doing it in your life to influence those that are in your life. So, but don't do like Galatians. Galatians said when you're trying to help someone up, you got to be careful or you too will be tempted. And so when you distance yourself, you have to put some gates. Your eye gate, your mouth gate, your mind gate. You can't go to every site. You can't watch every television show. You can't go to every movie. I know I'm preaching to myself, but I need for y'all to hear me. You have to distance yourself from flesh promoters. So it's time for you to take an inventory. If you want to get in step, you got to take some inventory of some places you go and some things that you allow your hearts to examine. Now we've made our way. We're going to finish right now. Look at that. We're 21 minutes in. Give me 10 more minutes. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Listen, if you want to walk this way, you got to get in step. But then secondly, get ready to write, you have to examine your fruit. You have to examine your fruit. Write that down. You have to examine your fruit. See, Paul gives you a clear picture of what a person looks like and the byproduct of what a person looks like who is walking in the Spirit. Now, if you don't see yourself nowhere in verses 22 and 23, Houston, we have a problem. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you are like, oh, Pastor, I'm not even passing. Pastor, I didn't even score. Pastor, I've just examined and I'm not doing well. There's still hope, beloved. Because it's very likely that you don't see that sort of fruit in your life because you're allowing the flesh to guide and to lead you. And y'all, the flesh doesn't make himself seem so bad at first. You know, the flesh disguises himself, making you think, well, I'm right. So since I'm right, I can say it any kind of way. The devil is a lie. Because right there, it says gentleness. It says patience. So just because you're right, the flesh will take advantage of your rightness and cause you to be a detriment to other believers. So Pastor Brown, listen, I don't think I'm that bad, but how then do I just kind of grapple with examining my fruit? Number one, ask the Lord how you're doing. Write that down. Ask the Lord. Lord, how am I doing? Now, here's the thing about talking to the Lord. When you talk to the Lord, there's going to come a time when you actually have to close your mouth. And you actually have to listen. You have to give the Spirit time to speak to, Lord, how am I doing? How am I doing? Secondly, ask another believer what they see. Y'all get this down. Some of y'all ain't writing. I know what you're looking at me. Write this down. Ask another believer what they see. See, there is something to be found in iron sharpening iron. And see, many of us, again, we don't want to ask anyone else because we really don't want to know the truth. We'd prefer to create our own reality and just continue to be blind and not fully taking ownership of our fruit. Understand, verses 22 and 23, there is an expectation that every believer display these fruit characteristics in his or her life. You don't have the option. So it's only if you're not doing it now, it's when are you going to begin to demonstrate this in your life? And the Spirit knows if you're being fake, Steve Brown. Number one, ask the Lord how you're doing. Number two, ask another believer what they see. Thirdly and finally, ask yourself what needs to change. Ask yourself what needs to change. Ask yourself what needs to change. See, we get caught up in our own world so much that all we think about is ourselves. But even still, when you talk to the Lord, Lord, what do you see? When you talk to another believer and then you take what they've shared with you and then you begin to do some self-examinations, Lord, Stephen Brown, what do you need to do to begin to improve this? The Lord is going to begin to speak to you about you. Word of God talks about examining yourselves with the mirror of the Word. And some of us don't like to look at our reflections. I get it, but you're going to have to do this if you're going to begin to grow spiritually. Yeah, there's a phenomenon that takes place now, and many, if not all of us, are guilty of it. Texting and driving. And we don't even get how bad it is. Because all of us do it. And here's the problem. All of us think we're good at doing it. Every single texter and driver under the sound of my voice, you think you've mastered it. You think you're doing it. But you don't even realize that when you're texting and driving, you are swerving all over the road. You don't think you think you got it under control. But you don't understand that for the other drivers looking at you, they can tell that you're texting and driving. Yeah, it is the same thing related to the fruit of the Spirit. You think you got it going on strong, but everybody else can see that you're volatile. They can see that you're impatient. They can see that you're unkind. They can see that you ain't got no joy. Beloved, you got to examine your fruit and stop texting and driving. The text is moving. Let's wrap it up. He said, now, those who belong to Christ, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. This is our goal. This is our hope. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You got to get in step, number one. You got to examine your fruit, number two. Thirdly and finally, you have to die to our flesh. We have to die to our flesh. Y'all, some of us need a funeral. We need a funeral. We need a full-blown Golden Gate funeral home. Funeral. I mean, you need the crown. Show with a crown. Some of y'all need a funeral, for real. I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's all good. Just stay with me. You need to die to that flesh. Because literally, y'all, what's happening in many of our spiritual lives is the flesh has taken over. And y'all, we, and I'm first person plural, we have become so carnal that we don't even know it. There has to be death to the flesh. So, a few things, and we'll wrap this up. First thing, and this is something that this is fluid. Again, we are building on this series for the next several weeks. But the first thing I want you to get is, every man and woman, you have to study your triggers. You got to study your triggers. You got to study your triggers. There's some things that happens in your life. Watch this. And these things kind of set off your flesh. Some of y'all, it's an image. Some of us, it's how someone looks at us or says something to us. And y'all, we can have just experienced the presence of the Lord. And if somebody does something, and y'all chase that spirit, it's like, let me get out of this thing. Yeah, woo, get away from that. We chase that spirit right on. Flesh just, You got to study your triggers, brothers, sisters. I know my triggers. And I talk to young men all the time about their triggers. There are certain things that happen that precede a sin act. And your triggers have been the same since you was 12 years old. And you now 45. The same things happen every time. You got to study your trigger and know, wait a minute. I see you, devil. When that happens, then this is the result. When that happens, then this is the result. You got to study your triggers. We'll deal with that in the next several weeks. Number two, stop seeking stuff that trips you up. Stop seeking stuff that trips you up. I'm trying to be practical today. Stop seeking stuff that trips you up. I'm not going to get too graphic. We got babies in here, but we're not talking about triggers. We're talking about stuff that sure enough trip you up. And see, some of the stuff we deal with, we didn't stumble into it. We stepped into it. And many of us, we wear the scars from having been tripped up so much. Thirdly and finally, starve those desires that make you weak. Starve them. Stop feeding them. Starve those desires that make you weak. Now here's what I love. Social media helps us in so many areas, but it hurts us in other areas. And I'm going to say this just matter-of-factly. Some of us are dabbling in social media. Some of us are pros. Some of us know how to keep things in their right perspective. But let me tell you something. The enemy is using social media to take a lot of believers out. I got one hand. God bless you, my sister. Thank you. Miss Greater Bethlehem, God bless you. Let me tell you something, y'all. You have to, help me, Holy Spirit. You have got to stop feeding that. Yeah. Yeah. That destroys you. Stephen Brown, you got to stop it. Yours may not be social media. Praise God, that ain't it. See, some of y'all are not into virtual reality. Some of us are in real reality. Y'all catch that on the way home. Your issue ain't what's on your phone. It's what's in your house. We got children. We got children. And so your issue is not a virtual temptation. You past that. You into the... So bottom line is, y'all, we got to die to our flesh. We got to die to our flesh. We got to die to our flesh. And Paul is very clear. He says, listen, you have got to have the courage to crucify your flesh. To kill it. And it's amazing when you deal with these issues, when you When you die to your flesh, when you evaluate your fruit, when you get in step with the Spirit, you'll begin to see these small incremental victories begin to overrun those failures. And when you begin to stack up some victories, your spiritual confidence will grow. Not arrogance, just confidence. And I told you last week, you'll see that person that when you used to see them, it would just do something to you. Now you'll walk right past them. You know why? Because you're beginning to make progress. You're beginning to see some victory. Some people would do something that would set you off like that, but now you find yourself calmly responding in a manner that won't bruise the fruit. The other day, my printer was not performing properly. It was a lot of streaks in my print, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I bought a new cartridge, and y'all know cartridges are very expensive. And the cartridge still had some ink in it, so I'm trying to figure out, man, what is going on? I mean, I did everything I thought I should do, and I was getting ready to open up that new cartridge, because once you open it, you got to install it. And then I carefully began to read my printer, and I hit this area where it was a little toolbar, and it said, watch this, if you want to clean the printer head, it may improve your printing performance. Stay with me here. See, I thought I needed a whole new cartridge, but all I really needed to do was to press that one button, and it began to self-clean. God. See, what happened is because of so much use, my printer head had become a little clogged up. And as a result, my print quality was low, was subpar. I began to push the button and clean the head, and watch this. Something happened on the inside. And all I can say, is the quality of my print improved. Pastor Mom, what are you saying? Child of God, you got to allow the blood of the Lamb to clean you up. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me what? White as snow, no other fount. I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody in here, you're ready to get cleaned up. As a matter of fact, you're already saved. But you got to admit that there's some areas in your life where the printer head has got a little cloggy. And you're ready to be clean. You're ready to be restored. You're ready for the Lord to take you to whatever the next level of your spirit life is. I'm finished, but I want you just to stand with me. Just stand with me real quickly. Just hold on. Just stand with me. Don't leave out just yet. Come on, stand with me. Hallelujah. 37 minutes. You're good, Lord. Stand with me right where you are. Bow your heads right where you are. Come on, right where you are. What have we talked about? We've talked about getting in step with the Spirit. We've talked about evaluating our fruit. Shh, heads bowed, eyes are closed. And we've talked about dying to our flesh. Shh. Children of God, the Lord wants us. He desires us. He saved us to walk in the Spirit. And I know that the flesh is strong. I understand it. Paul says elsewhere, even when I want to do good, evil is just right there and it's crouching and trying to get me distracted. I need for you to believe that the blood can clean you up. And it's not just a one-time cleansing. It's an ongoing cleansing. And I want you to receive that cleansing now. I know that you're saved, but there needs to be a renewal, if you will. See, many of us have been operating in our flesh for so long, we don't even believe there's any other options for us. The text has affirmed that the expectation is for you to live by the Spirit. The last part of the handout said, listen, it's not about perfection. but about progression. So I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to allow the Spirit to move. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for just the revelation that we have received on today. Father, we understand now even more clear that the struggle is real. But thanks be to God, the Spirit is ready. So, Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, from the youngest believer to the most mature believer in age. Father, help each of us to know that we simply do not arrive on this side. That there is always another level. There's always a deeper level of our relationship, of our spiritual development. So, Father, I pray that we would take this moment now to examine our fruit. So, Father, just see how we're doing as it relates to the outpouring, the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. Are we gentle? Are we loving? Are we patient? And Father, we're asking publicly that you would forgive us for the areas where we perpetually fall short. Father, many of us who are standing, we see ourselves in verses 19 through 21 more so than we see ourselves in 22 and 23. Lord, we see the promiscuity. We see the idolatry in our lives. And Lord, we don't like it. And Father, we're asking that your Spirit, who resides within us, to purge, to cleanse, to give us another chance. And Father, we don't make any bold declarations as to, I'm not going to do that no more. Father, we're asking that you would give us courage for just this day, this moment. Father, give us the victory of a day. And then, Father, we will be committed to pray the same prayer tomorrow. Father, I'm lifting up the young people under the sound of my voice. Lord, the enemy is so aggressive with his attack upon each of their lives. Father, help us as a faith community to be a hedge of protection around our young people. Father, help us to support the men and women who pour into their lives, these children and youth workers, and that we would do our part not to just sit idly by, but to roll up our sleeves and get involved in the spiritual development of these young people. And Father, we can actually see that when we invest in others, you do something for us. So Father, I pray for these young people. Lord, keep social media from compromising their faith. Lord, keep it from being such a time consumer. Lord, we love you so much. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Let everybody say amen. Come on, put those hands together right now. Come on, hallelujah.